You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Friday, April 2nd, 2021. I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Jonah Booker for his usual Friday visit. A lot to get into as usual, J-Book. Let's start with bad news. I hate to do this, but let's start with bad news. Seven Banks out for the rest of spring with an undisclosed injury. I'm hearing it might not be too serious with Seven Banks, so I guess that's partially good news, but he's going to miss the rest of spring. And then wide receiver Cameron Babb is going to miss the rest of spring with an injury. I'm hearing that one might be a little bit more serious, and he's dealt with just a bevy of injuries. Tough news there. Again, hopefully everything's okay with Seven, and it's just a minor thing. And, you know, he's the number one corner. Can't afford to lose him. And Cam Babb, you know, I thought his career was already in jeopardy after his last injury, Jonah. And word was he was looking really good in spring this year, and hopefully it's nothing serious. But my heart just goes out to that young man. He can't catch a break.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You hate to hear it. As you mentioned, the kid can't catch a break, and talking about Cameron Babb, and he was looking good. The guy really worked himself back from the previous ACL injuries he's had on those knees. Hopefully he stays encouraged, and when the smoke is settled, that he'll be able to decide what he wants to do as far as a football career. I know Ohio State will definitely take care of him if he decides to hang it up. I know it's as early to speculate, but when you have a history of injuries that has put you out for a significant amount of time, and especially if he has to have another surgery, those type of conversations has to take place with him and his family. As far as Seven Banks, you know, you hate to see it. He's a guy that definitely needed to work on his technique. He was a kid that struggled when it comes to fundamentals and techniques this past season under Kerry Combs. So you wanted to see your starting corner to be able to get better throughout the spring working on that. And with him missing that time, that's going to hurt him. The fact of the matter is, when it comes to Banks, you need him healthy for the fall. He's one of your starting cornerbacks. But best of luck to both guys. And Ohio State has a state-of-the-art strength and conditioning and training program. So if anyone can get them back on the field, it would be Ohio State.
Now, my man, you've been on fire lately. Not that you're not always smoking hot, my man, when it comes to Ohio State football knowledge, but you've really been dropping a lot of knowledge on and inside scoops, inside intel on the Front Row message board lately. Let's start with Mayan Williams, as we affectionately call him, Meatball. Not that we came up with that, his teammates and his coaches, one of the best nicknames that I've heard in recent memory. It fits him so well as well. Meatball taking some first-team reps, a lot of first-team reps. How many first-team reps are you hearing that Mayan Williams is taking running back for the Buckeyes in spring?
Yeah, Meatballs, he's been in the mix with the ones running with the first team offensive line. So to me, for him to be able to get those type of looks, it tells me that Ohio State coaches feel really good about where he's at in his progression. With Master T, they already know what they have out of him. He's a veteran guy. They're going to save some of the wear and tear on him. Like it or not, you're going to get some doses of Master T this year. What Ohio State needs to find out now is who's going to be that next running back. Who's going to be those next guys? I truly believe Ohio State's going to go a running back by committee, because you're seeing a rotation with Meatball and Marcus Crowley, who's finally healthy 100%, and he's really starting to show out this spring. So he's making the competition even more fierce, because there's a lot of times where Marcus Crowley has gashed our defense in practice. And then you also have your next wave of guys with Evan Pryor and Henderson. But Meatball, he's right there in the mix running with the ones. And so far, so good. He's doing extremely well. He runs with such reckless abandon. He runs with an attitude. He lowers his pads and he comes downhill with a nasty, nasty head full of steam. And right now, Ohio State likes where he's at with his progression. He's going to continue to get better. I think you're going to have early on a nice battle between him and Crowley to see who's going to be those early guys in. To me, I think Ohio State is best suited if you use Master Teague as your hammer, a guy that can come in later in the games and when defenses have their hands on the hip, they're tired, he would be the guy to finish them off. I thought he performed extremely well in that role a couple years ago when it was him and J.K. Dobbins. If you can get some healthy, fresh legs early on to pop off some of those home runs and then bring Master Teague in to finish them off, I think Ohio State's going to be cooking something.
What are you hearing, if anything, about Travion Henderson and Evan Pryor?
Younger guys, immensely talented. Obviously, both kids missed their senior year of high school football, so it's going to take them some time to get up to speed. This is a very intricate playbook, so they're definitely progressing. They're very talented, but they still have a lot of rust to them. I think once they get up to speed, you're going to start really seeing them take their game to the next level, because people have to remember, and I know the fans and the message board, they're extremely high on Henderson, and people believe he's going to come out the gates as Ezekiel Elliott 2014 style. And I would caution people to say, slow down. He's a uber talented prospect, but this is big time football. You know, these other guys that are in the program, they're not just going to let Henderson come in and jump in right away. Not to say that he's not going to be special and he's not going to get his touches, but it's going to take him time to understand how the college game works. And one of the biggest emphasis when it comes to Ohio State is those guys have to learn how to pass protect. And a lot of people don't talk about that. So that's going to be a development for them. Tony Alford is going to continue to work with him and Pryor, but make no mistake, they're incredibly talented. They're very gifted running backs. They're the future of Ohio State. I would just say calm down a little bit with the hype and the expectations, because they are extremely young. They miss some football, which, you know, it you can look at it as those guys have less wear and tear on their body, but at the same time, it has to be a progression in order to be able to get themselves up to college speed. And so far, so good with them.
I just love the depth and the talent there. And going back to Seven Banks and Cam Babb's injury real quick, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that our very own Patrick Murphy was the one that broke that story yesterday. So great reporting out of our Patrick Murphy. J-Book, speaking of great reporting, you also mentioned in your many inside intels this week, C.J. Stroud, as we've reported, is the leader, and you're able to also confirm that he's getting a lot of first-team reps and looking good. But also, you added to it that, hey, now, Jack Miller's looking really good too. Elaborate on that, would you, sir?
Yeah, so it's a battle, and I think it's right now for the starting quarterback position, it's going to be C.J. Stroud and Jack Miller. Kyle McCord is talented, but I think he's behind the eight ball when it comes to those two guys. You have Stroud running with the ones, and Miller's also getting quite a bit of playing time with the ones. And I think this is going to be a deep, deep quarterback battle that will not be decided in the spring. I believe this is going to go all the way to fall camp. Don't be surprised even if you see two quarterbacks playing this year, because that's how good both of these guys are. And, you know, I know everyone looks at C.J. Stroud as the five-star elite 11 quarterback, and rightfully so. He's tremendous. But Jack Miller is also a kid that played behind a terrible offensive line in high school. He was running for his life, had to deal with injuries. Now that he's been at Ohio State, he's healthy, and he's showing why he was also a borderline potential five-star quarterback before he got hurt. And from what people have told me is Jack Miller is extremely accurate. I know everyone likes to do comparisons and hype people up, but I've had people say Joe Burrow type of accuracy. The ball jumps out of his hand. He's a quick decision maker with the football, and his ball placement, which is very important in his offense, his ball placement throws a lot of wide receivers open in tight windows. And that, if you can make those type of throws in Ryan Day's offense, you have a shot to win the starting quarterback position here. So both guys are getting equal opportunities with the ones. I will say C.J. Stroud right now, slightly ahead of Jack Miller, but Jack Miller is nip and tuck. It's going to be, you know, down to the very end. Who's going to be making the most plays, wild plays, and who is going to be the quarterback that protects the football? So it's good news for Ohio State fans. You have an absolutely stacked quarterback room, and you have the best high school football player in the country coming in as quarterback in Quinn Ewers. And then you have a five-star who's learning the college game right now in Kyle McCord. So the future for Ohio State quarterback's position is extremely bright. But I think it's going to behoove Ohio State to take this battle as long as possible, because both guys are so talented. The last thing you want to do is declare a quarterback winner right now in the spring and lose one of those guys in the transfer portal. So for me, it's a smart business decision, especially when the competition is this close, that you just keep letting those guys throw those darts. Iron sharpens iron. If they can continue to compete at a high level and they're neck and neck, take that thing as long as possible, and then eventually settle in on your quarterback, you know, a week or two before the game. But make no mistake, Jack Miller, he's neck and neck with C.J. Stroud.
All right, last thing. We'll get you out of here on this, my man. I'm usually really good, I think, at pegging where Buckeyes are going to go in the draft. I'm pretty good at it. But I'm a little gun-shy, J-Book, after the Dwayne Haskins situation. I thought it was all a smokescreen. Oh, he's going to fall, and he's not going to go to the Giants and this and that. I'm like, that's a bunch of BS. I've seen this song and dance too many times. I'm back there with Justin Fields, though, but I'm a little gun-shy. I am not buying this nonsense that he's going to fall in the draft, that he's, you know, last guy in, first guy out. His body, I mean, I don't know how you, unless he's got the best weight room, you know, he's doing is working out at home. He's got the best weight room in the world at his apartment or something. I don't know. He certainly doesn't look like a guy that's last guy in, first guy out. I think he's going to be the number three pick of the draft. There's a lot of talk out there that he's going to slip. Todd McShay's mock draft yesterday was released, as you and I have talked about, and Todd McShay has him slipping all the way to 11th in this draft. Is this a smokescreen? Is there something to worry about? What do you make of all this, J-Book?
I think it's a smokescreen. You know, I know Tom McShay put that out there, and you and I look at it like, is he doing this for clicks? Because there is no way he falls that far down the draft. And I talked to Bobby Carpenter, and Bobby said he's talked with Ohio State coaches in regards to the Dan Orlovsky about, you know, the grind and the playbook. And Ohio State coaches will tell every NFL scout or anyone who asks them that Justin Fields is a high character guy. He's a grinder. His teammates love him. He works his butt off. And anytime you're talking about how to prepare for to be an NFL quarterback, that is going to be a learning curve. Yes, he needs to get better at breaking down film and learning how to study film, but that is something that happens with almost every quarterback that's coming out of the draft. So what you're seeing is a lot of teams trying to use that Justin needs to continue to get better in learning how to break down film as a way to knock him, which is absolutely absurd. I can't see him getting past number eight at Carolina with Matt Rhule, and you have Joe Brady. A lot of people don't realize, and I was reading this the other night, is Matt Rhule and Ryan Day go back since 2006. They were assistant coaches together at Temple. Carolina sent their head coach, the director of player personnel, their general manager, all to Columbus to watch Justin Fields throw. And if Ryan Day is going to give a ringing endorsement to Matt Rhule, who he's tight with, you better believe that's going to carry a lot of weight. Now, you tell me if Justin Fields gets into Carolina where he's playing with Christian McCaffrey and he has that Joe Burrow playbook coming from Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, that he wouldn't be spectacular there.
I think so, and I just can't see him getting past eight, even four. Even if you go, even if 49ers decide to take Mac Jones at number three, which is ridiculous, and that's a whole conversation to itself. But Atlanta, you know, a hometown team, they need a quarterback. If you're trying to sell tickets and you're trying to have the future for Atlanta football, why not put it on the backs of the local kid? Because Matt Ryan's, his days are numbered there. Justin Fields can go to Atlanta. He can sit for 1 year, and you put him with Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones as he develops. That would be spectacular. But I agree with you. Todd McShay mocking him at 11. There's no way he falls that high. If anything, you would see teams come up to get him because Denver needs a quarterback. You can see the Patriots making the move. And Robert Kraft just said 2 days ago that they need to solidify their quarterback position, and they're going to change the way they go about their business. And the Patriots, they're known for a team that likes to trade back and collect picks. But with Kraft saying that and the way they've made a big splash in free agency, I could easily see them trading away a lot of draft capital to go get Justin Fields and have him play behind Cam Newton for a year. But 11, it's not going to happen. Top 10, definitely see it happen, because there's a lot of teams that would love to have Justin Fields in their football organization.
Great stuff, as always, from Jonah Booker. Really appreciate it, Jay Book, and thank you to all the listeners out there for tuning in to the show. We appreciate that very much. Have a great day and a great weekend, Bucknutters, and let's hear that Buckeye swag, best damn band in the land.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.